Good morning, everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's gospel, the parable of the workers in the vineyard, concludes with the words, "The last will be first, and the first will be last." And when we hear those words, we often think they refer to the poor, the sick, the oppressed, all those who, through no fault of their own, like Lazarus, the beggar at the door of the rich man, cannot enjoy the good things in this life. The compassion of the God of Israel for the poor and suffering was well known, and it was a central theme of Jesus' preaching. Also, Jesus often warned about the danger of riches and the love of things of this world. Indeed, a similar saying, "Many who are first will be last, and the last first," is at the end of the previous chapter, chapter 19 of St. Matthew's Gospel. And there, the context is Jesus' saying that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. But in this parable of the workers in the vineyard, the issue is not one of compassion for the poor or of the dangers of wealth. Rather, it is one of justice. And here it seems that the landowner, who is understood to represent God, is being deliberately perverse. From a human point of view, it seems only fair and right that those who have worked longer should receive a greater wage. But is that in fact the case? The landowner has made an agreement with each of the workers for the standard daily wage. And if he chooses to pay the same wage for working different hours, why should we object? In the words of the gospel, "What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money?" If it is a matter of justice, the landowner is the one who is paying for the work, and surely he is free to decide for himself what is the value of each man's labor and to pay them accordingly. But there is also, I think, a deeper theological point to the landowner's generosity. In the sight of Almighty God, none of us deserves the reward of salvation and eternal life. There is nothing we can do to merit it. We can merit an increase of grace for ourselves and for others through our cooperation with God's initial gift. But salvation, the gift of saving faith, is God's free gift and is bestowed upon us freely out of His infinite generosity and not because of anything we have done to earn it. Salvation is freely offered to all human beings. But how many actually want to take advantage of that gift? How many ignore it and despise those prophets and preachers who proclaim it to them? How many prefer some other form of faith which speaks to their pride, vanity, or human judgment? How many are envious and want to hold on to their own possessions and accomplishments? But in reality, everything we have and possess, our minds, our bodies, everything we think and say and do, our very lives themselves and everything in them, all these are gifts of Almighty God. We did nothing to deserve to be born in a particular country, to particular parents, in particular circumstances, at a specific time in history. We did nothing to deserve the gifts God has given to us. And certainly we are called to use those gifts in a particular way. And certainly, too, we will be held responsible for the way we have used our gifts. But we also need to remember that everything in our lives is under the disposition of divine providence. And that knowledge should instill in us a certain humility and a certain gratitude. If we have done nothing to deserve the circumstances into which we were born and the gifts we were given, then we need to give thanks to the giver of all good gifts, who is God Himself. And we need to use such gifts as we have been given in accordance with God's plan for us, for His greater glory, and for the salvation of ourselves and of those we love and of all who seek our help. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.